Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
And good morning. Welcome back to the broadcast. Good to be back with you. Here at the outset, and we will get into the muck and the mire soon enough. But here at the outset, I want to just make some comments in follow-up to our discussion yesterday, because there's plenty of material, as you well know, with this ongoing conflict between the president and the squad. This is where it would be great to see a live celebrity death match. The president against all four of these women. You know, just let them fight it out. Let me say this at the beginning, because I'm serious. I have to tell you, I'm just being honest here. I'm disheartened, terribly disheartened by what I am watching. And I'll be sharing some perspectives of some people I have a great deal of appreciation, respect for. And this is the one of the concerns. Let me just say this at the outset. What I think is really intriguing, and this is something I've been warning many of you about for quite some time, we are becoming what we have vehemently attacked and opposed for years. Let me tell you what I mean by this. And Rush has hit this on the head. This is where I have a profound respect for Rush and his comments that are more prophetic than he even realizes. What does Rush say about the Democrat Party and about liberalism? It's a religion. It's a replacement for people's faith. Look at any Democrat politician, and many of these politicians are Catholic. But when it comes right down to it, when it's a choice between their church and the teachings of the church and its convictions, if it's between the church and the teachings of the church and politics, they will choose politics every single freaking time. They will. Here's my warning. The same thing is happening to many of us. If there's a choice between the values that we allegedly hold dear and political considerations and so-called victory and winning, more and more I'm watching people who are willing to take the path of least resistance and go with what is politically pragmatic and what is political over values. Values are out the window. They're gone. All that matters now is this thing called winning. And I have to keep asking the question, at the end of the day, what will we win? I'll tell you what the politicians win: power. Because I think that ultimately is what this is all about for some people. I don't care whether it's Mitch McConnell, whether it's Paul Ryan, whether it's Donald Trump. See, they love sending out these fundraising letters about how important it is to win. Let me tell you something. This is about one victory and one victory alone. It's theirs. Don't kid yourself. It's not about you. And I don't care who it is. You can call me a Trump basher, whatever you want. I'm just telling you. Politicians, the bottom line, it's about them. And don't let them lie to you and deceive you into believing it's about you, because it's not. But I don't want to start there. I want to start with a positive story about someone who's no longer with us. We were broadcasting the morning that we got the news that Ross Perot had passed away. Rick Perry has written an op-ed with a story that he did not share until after Ross Perot passed away, because his sense was it's not something that Ross Perot would have wanted out there. Because this is, for all of this man's, I don't know what you would call it, because many people who are of means can be quite arrogant, quite full of themselves. But there was still a place in this man who was apparently humble enough that he wasn't going to toot his horn on something like this. Here's what Rick Perry has written this week. The Nation remembers Ross Perot for his success in business, the two independent White House bids, and his no-nonsense, straight Texas talk, his love of country, larger-than-life personality, and generosity, all part of the legacy that will live on. But there's another little-known part of the life of Ross Perot that should be told now that he's gone. He was a tireless but private supporter of our wounded veterans. During my time as governor of this great state, I had the honor and privilege of knowing countless warriors who stepped forward to serve in Iraq and Afghanistan and return home with horrific wounds of war. U.S. Army Corporal Alan Babin is one such hero. While serving in Iraq in 2003 as a medic in the 82nd Airborne, Alan was shot in the abdomen while tending to a fallen comrade. While Alan survived his injury, he faced a long and difficult road to recovery, complicated by the onset of meningitis and a stroke-induced coma that left him confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. On the one-year anniversary of his wounding, I joined Alan and his family for a small gathering. He was still in very bad shape, neurologically and physically incapacitated. When I asked his mother, Rosie, what I could do to help, she said, she was eager to get him out of the hospital and back home, but struggling with the prospect of transporting Alan to his many medical visits. I knew there was one person to call, Ross Perot. What happened next still amazes me to this day. The next morning, Ross personally called Rosie and made arrangements for his plane to pick up the Babins in Austin and fly them to Dallas, where Alan could be seen by leading neurologists at a university hospital. When the hospital elevators opened, Ross was standing there to meet Alan personally and ensure that he got the best of care. Later that day, Rosie was handed a key to a hotel room across the street so she could be close to Alan throughout the extended stay. When Rosie returned to the family home in Round Rock for her daughter's prom, Ross visited privately with Alan to sit with him and make sure he wasn't alone. After 3 weeks in Dallas, Alan and Rosie returned home to Austin on Ross's plane. When they arrived home, a fully customized luxury conversion van equipped with a wheelchair lift was waiting for them in their driveway. Later, when they spoke, Ross told Rosie two things. One phone call is all you ever need to make if you need anything. Now I want you to focus on Alan. And that's exactly what happened. Going to share more about this. Man, I love this. Absolutely love this. And again, this is a man who did not share this story publicly. We're going to finish it as we continue our broadcast.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Back in the Vince Coakley radio program, we've been talking about Ross Perot and his generosity in helping a wounded veteran. We'll share the rest of the story in a bit. I also want to tell you there is a news conference underway by several members of the Republican House leadership. Now, I had a chance to listen to just a little bit of it. It's kind of veered in different directions. If that resumes and they continue talking about anything of interest, we will go back to that and we will listen in. But let's return to what we were sharing about Ross Perot and his help for a veteran. In 2005, when Allen needed to return to Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Ross flew the Babbins to Washington, D.C. and arranged for a private ambulance to pick him up on the tarmac and transport him to the hospital. Today, Allen and his parents live together in a special adapted smart home provided by the generosity of another great champion of our wounded veterans, Gary Sinise. Thanks to the support of patriots like Gary and Ross, Allen has progressed in his limited physical ability to become an accomplished, adaptive skier, hand cyclist, and golfer. Over the years, Rosie has come to call those who rush to Allen to his aid, Allen's angels. But the big title, Big Angel, is and will forever be reserved for Ross Perot. While alive, Ross would have shunned any effort to grant him credit for his support of Allen and the untold others he quietly helped through unimaginably challenging times. Now that he's gone, everyone should know the quality of the man that our state, our nation, and our wounded veterans have lost. God bless Ross Perot. Written by Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas. That's an awesome story, is it not? This comes back again to what I've said. This is the substance of what our country needs to rebuild with. It's about one another. It's not about top-down government from anybody. I don't care who it is and what party. It's ultimately about what we do with each other. I hope you can appreciate that story as I did. Let's go out to a call from Stan. Good morning, Stan.
How are you this morning, Ben?
Doing well, sir.
I have a personal question for you, but I'm going to set the question up so you know what I'm trying to get to. The Constitution basically set it up so that you and your God could control your life, which is, if you think about it, that's moral. And so we have a lot of people who don't realize that in the value of America. And so what I wanted to find out is, I'm sure when you were growing up, I'm sure that you had friends that went one way and friends that went another, maybe even siblings. What is it about you at that period of time that made you pick the route that you took? I want you to speak to people who are in their 14 till 20 years old, people who maybe have done a couple of things wrong and they're facing a point in their life where they can turn it around. What kind of advice would you give them as some stuff that helped you in that period in your life?
That's really an excellent question, Stan. And I'd have to say it's something that carries with me to this day. I think you probably know, if you listen with regularity, it's and I don't claim credit for this because I've often said my spiritual connection, my relationship with God is something that he pursued with me before I was a teen. That was the most significant event as a preteen that positioned me for the future. From there, here are those other choices, Stan. Those connections that I made, those important mentoring relationships were key in the process for me. It was all along the way, certain people that I, my ongoing cultivating my relationship with God, the study of Scripture, to provide a moral foundation and a clear direction, but also just making right choices of who I listen to along the way and identifying those people who really had my best interests at heart and making sure along the way that I've had those people, and they've been different people over the years, but those were very important choices, recognizing where I belonged, recognizing that I didn't have, that there was wisdom that I needed beyond myself. Is that helpful at all, Stan?
Yes, it is. I'm always curious as to how that happened for you.
Right. Go ahead.
What kind of advice would you give somebody who maybe is in a situation where relatives, parents aren't around that do that? Are there some avenues they could seek out mentors, people in their lives like that?
Absolutely. And that's what I would do is I think the first thing, and I think for, and I, this is the paradigm by which I approach it. For me, it begins with just praying and asking, you know, Lord, show me, who is it that I can trust in a healthy way? Now, I'm a big believer in the school of Ronald Reagan here, trust but verify. And that has to be an ongoing process. You don't give anybody unfettered trust without verification in an ongoing way. But yes, sometimes it's a matter of asking to have my eyes open so I might be able to see people who are already in my life that I just need to make myself available to them. Some of those people are already there, Stan. And sometimes we don't recognize them because we're blinded by, you know, our own blinders or our own circumstance or whatever it is. And or sometimes it's a matter of we need to seek those people out. Go to places where we will find people of character. Somebody who's a little further along in their journey than me that I can look to and just have an honest interaction with and be open and transparent and open up my life to those. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
This does, Vince, and thank you very much. You've been inspirational to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. Thank you.
I'd like you to hold on the line, Stan, because I am very curious about inquiring further the reason behind those questions. What Stan has just brought up, that's the stuff of what makes America what it is. Do you understand that? It's not these politicians. And again, I don't care who it is. And I think people look at this as this binary choice. Well, I got to choose this person or that person. No, it's really not ultimately about even choosing political leaders. It's about the choices that you make and I make, who we relate to, and how we build the networks of relationships around us, starting with our own families. That is what will determine the future of this country more than anything else. It will. And the more I look at it, the stuff that's going on around us, a good part of it is a whole lot of white noise. It really is. Boy, this text line has just blown my mind. I'll just give you a little sampling here of some of the things I've seen already. Your show is so yesterday's news. As always, at this time every morning, over to so-and-so, referring to another talk show. Trump is doing what a lot of people would like to do, I'm sure. Okay, Vince, you're a Trump basher. Let the Trump bashing begin. See, the fact that this is such an obsession, it tells me everything I know about these texters. Your life is so small. You have built your world around one man. And I feel sorry for you, and I will pray for you. Seriously. Because unless we move away from this, this country is doomed. I'm just going to be very blunt about that. And I don't care what other talk show hosts are doing. They can drink the orange Kool-Aid until they are freaking drunk. I don't give a crap. Join News Talk 1110 993 WBT and Harris Teeter in helping feed hungry kids this summer. It's time for WBT's Peanut Butter in July. Throughout the month of July, all Mecklenburg and Gaston County Harris Teeter stores, a virtual donation of a jar of peanut butter can be added to your shopping total automatically at checkout. For every donation made, Harris Teeter will add a jar of Peter Pan peanut butter to WBT's Peanut Butter in July campaign. No easier way to help kids have a nutritious meal this summer. WBT's Peanut Butter in July. Check out at all Mecklenburg and Gaston County Harris Teeter stores in July. Thanks to our friends at Peter Pan. Back to our broadcast. And I'm most encouraged by the story we shared at the top about Ross Perot. But I recognize we've got to talk about the mud that is currently slinging right now. There's a news conference I mentioned by the Republican leadership. And frankly, the parts of it I heard, I was so terribly bored. There was really no reason to torment you with it. It was Kevin McCarthy and several other members of the House leadership. The parts I heard were really not that striking. And it has ended now. Just thought I would let you know. Let's go out to a call from Jonathan in Rock Hill. Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir.
I'd like to use the 50,000 watts to say thank you to all my friends and family. I've got PTSD pretty bad. And every time I'm on the phone with them, they're there for me. And I just want to tell them thank you. And I want to tell you thank you. Because every time I come out here in the morning, I know I have a friendly voice I can listen to, which is yours. And well, you have no idea how much that means.
I so appreciate that, Jonathan. Thank you for serving. And we're standing with you. You have a friend right here, and there are many others within the sound of my voice. We are very much appreciative of you, who you are, and what you have done. So stay with us, sir, and God bless you, and hope you'll continue to do well. There's a part of me almost doesn't even want to go into this stuff. I've got a friend. In fact, I had lunch with him in Kentucky just a few weeks ago. Now, some of you will look at this and you'll just say, and I recognize this, because many of you, I'm just going to be blunt, your hearts are so hard that your heart doesn't function anymore because you're in political mode all the time. That's not healthy. You should at least be able to, and I want you to understand something. I don't sit behind this microphone as somebody who has it all together and is perfect. I am a person in process on many levels. But one of the things I've learned, in fact, I had a conversation last week. There was something that happened. I'm trying to remember what it was. Something that was said by a member of Congress that I heard it on the news and I thought, I cannot believe this person said that. And I was, frankly, I was disturbed. I sent a text because the news agency misreported it was one person, and I sent a text to that person, and he was like, you got the wrong one. He immediately called and said, oh, this was somebody else who made those comments. So I, in turn, sent the text to that person. And, well, in fact, I don't think I sent a text. I just called. We had a great conversation. In fact, the words used by this member of Congress, he said, I'd encourage you to have that conversation with him. It's all about iron sharpening iron. And we had a great talk. We didn't necessarily agree on everything, but we had a conversation about it. What is the point that I'm making here? The point is this. We've got to sharpen each other and try to bring the best out of each other. Now, if that's who you are and that's what you want to do, let's work together at that. But if you're not interested in that and politics reigns supreme and, quote, winning, if that's what you think this is all about, you know, we're in different universes altogether. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because politics is not going to solve the ultimate problems that we have. Politics won't do it. I recognize there are people around me who can provide correction. You know, I was answering this question by the caller a few minutes ago on this very thing. There are people who speak into my life and challenge me on things. Sometimes I get challenges from people I don't know very well. And sometimes there are people I vehemently disagree with that I still need to receive their words. Now, here's a person, my friend Dane. In fact, I should have in this program to share his story. You'll understand why when I tell you if this ever happens. But philosophically, spiritually, we are so far apart. But we had the best time just hanging out. You know why? Because we talked about our lives and about what really mattered in our lives as individuals. We talked very little about politics. Here's what he posted this morning. Our president's very mean-spirited, and it hurts my heart. Now, some of you, your immediate reflexive reaction, well, there's another stupid snowflake. And if that's where you are, more power to you. But I feel what my friend has communicated here, and I get it. I get it. There's got to be a place where you can at least identify as a human being with this person and say, you know what? There could be something there. There could be something there that needs to be examined. But the political reaction is just to say, yeah, stupid snowflake, screw him. And if that's where you are, have fun with that. Because you're going to be amped up every single day reacting to stuff like this. That's not where I am. In fact, I'm moving rapidly away from that nonsense. Because all of this political stuff is going to go to seed one day. And you know what? Every single one of us, we're going to be taking one giant dirt nap. You're going to return to dust. I'm going to return to dust. All of this stuff ain't going to matter at all. Let's go out to a call from Jack. Good morning.
Hey, Vince. How you doing, buddy?
All right, sir.
Hey, man. I call in from time to time, and I've told you this on several occasions. You are not a Republican, Vince. And you have got to finally realize that, man, and get rid of this Republican Party thing and go on with your life.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not in your DNA, Vince. You're out of step with the Republican Party.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's definitely not your DNA, man. You've got to go back to your roots, Vince.
I can't wait to hear. So what are my roots? I can't wait to hear this.
You're a black man from Kentucky, man. You should be a Democrat, you know.
Jack, I'm just saying respectfully, you're very ignorant.
No.
You're a very ignorant man.
I invited you for lunch on several occasions,
Jack,
and you keep turning me down.
Jack, tell me give me one Democrat position that I hold to.
I'm not sure. Vince, I don't know if I can give you that.
You can't, because...
I don't listen to you enough for that.
Jack, hold on the line. We'll have this debate coming up. This is entertaining. It's scary, but it's entertaining. Stay with us. So our caller before the break decided not to hold on. See, this is what I'm talking about. You cannot make an intellectual argument. All you can do is, well, you're not going along with what everybody else is saying. You're not singing from the same sheet of music, so you must be a Democrat. This goes back to what I said to you earlier. Does it not? The Republican mob has now become the same thing that liberals have been for years. Unable to reason, unable to think. It's now all about emoting and tribalism. That's it. That's all that matters. And I'm just going to be blunt about this. This is what talk radio has turned into. And most of it I cannot listen to. I really can't. Because it's nonstop tribalism. And frankly, some of the greatest thinkers in talk radio I have respected since I was a child, I can no longer listen to for this reason. Because they no longer stimulate my mind anymore. They are drinking Kool-Aid, and they're unable. No, let me rephrase that. They are unwilling. They're unwilling to take the path of least resistance anymore. They're not cutting edge anymore. They aren't. They've given in to the spirit of the age. So now you've got liberals who are driven by their emotions, and now you've got so-called Republicans driven by their emotions and their emotional attachments. And now they're making all these stupid, flimsy arguments to defend what it is they believe in, whatever it is, and whoever it is. And if that's the definition of being a Republican, screw that. I will have no part of it. We'll get to more of your calls in a bit, but I want to share a couple of perspectives here. Britt Hume, Trump's go back comments were nativist, xenophobic, counterfactual, and politically stupid. They simply do not meet the standard definition of a racist, a word so recklessly flung around these days, its actual meaning is being lost. This is thought. That is thoughtful. That is Britt Hume. And Britt Hume has been very defensive of the president for the most part. Had the opportunity to meet Britt and visit with him several years ago for a couple of hours. Really sharp guy. Marquise Young, who introduced the president, the now president, at the Republican convention, I believe. Marquise is a former Democrat. Has become a Republican. Had the opportunity to meet him several years ago. Really sharp guy. The tweet from the president was completely ignorant. With that being said, I still support him. I respect the hell out of Marquise. God willing, this guy will be a future, if this Republican Party survives, if for anything useful, I hope Marquise is a part of that. See, you don't have to reject the president to reject what he said. And I appreciate the thoughtfulness of Marquise to be able to say something so short, so concise, and so factual that he doesn't have to jettison the president in the process. And nobody's advocating that. I'm going to save the president for the next hour. But I think it's interesting. When I came across this morning, now, I just want you to think about, again, this is engaging. Now, I want to be very clear before I even share this audio, because I know the reactions. This is the audio from 2015. I'm not going to mention the person's name yet. Because you know what I think about this guy. Politically speaking, as a Republican, in terms of conservatism, the guy's a fraud. And he should have been run out of office years ago. But he said something. He knew what he was talking about back in 2015. But he's since gotten onto the, quote, Trump train. Why did he do this? See, and I think this what you're about to hear are the true convictions of this man. But what he's done is he's thrown all of this completely out to go along and get along. Now I think he's dishonest, because I know he knows, in order to be in good stead with you, many of you, he's got to go along with whatever everybody else is talking about in talk radio and everywhere else and defend everything this president does. I want you to hear, this is 2015. You'll know who it is right away. We'll talk about who it is after we listen.
What is your reaction to hearing what Donald Trump says?
By the way, can you stop this just a moment? I need to give you, let's restart this, because I want to tell you a context. This is back during the campaign when the president made some comments about making some changes in how Muslims come into this country. You remember that discussion and how this turned into you hate Muslims, all the other nonsense. I get that. But I want you to hear what this person had to say back in 2015.
What is your reaction to hearing what Donald Trump says?
I'm disgusted. Well, I want to talk to the Trump supporters for a minute. I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you like this guy. I think what you like about him, he appears to be strong when the rest of us are weak. He's a very successful businessman, and he's going to make everything great. He's going to take all the problems of the world and put them in a box and make your life better. That's what he's selling. Here's what you're buying. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for. I've been in the Air Force for 33 years.
Okay, you hear that? So what's the real Lindsey Graham? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. You heard what I said about Lindsey Graham. I've not been a Lindsey Graham fan. He's never wanted to come on this program to answer questions. As a conservative, he's a fraud. But I guarantee you, what you just heard, that's the real Lindsey Graham. And that's what he really thinks. Those are his true convictions about Donald Trump. And he and
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.